by Casey Fitzgerald. Fitzgerald putting a lot of pressure there, playing very physically. Gaudette sends this along the board. Sakura unable to find this as the Eagles rush up the ice. Here's Alex Tuck on the left-hand side. No call for a tripping, so the Huskies come up. Mike McMurtry on the right side passes it over, but unable to find the back of the net. A beautiful save by Thatcher Demko. Another rush here by the Huskies. Matt Betting turned over to Casey Fitzgerald as Alex Tuck picks this up right in front of the benches. 5 seconds to play here. Last rush by Steve Santini. But the Eagles unable to get a shot off here at the end of the period. And this will bring the second period to a close. The Northeastern Huskies have a 4-3 lead over Boston College. A very close play there. A nice save at the end of the period by Thatcher Demko. And he has made some clutch saves. Although giving up 4 goals and 22 shots, he has made some nice plays to keep the Eagles in this game.
Incredible right pad sprawling save by Demko. Honestly, if BC comes back to tie or win this game, I think you're going to look back at that as the turning point. BC was inches away from giving up another goal within the last 20 seconds of a period, which would have been a backbreaker for Boston College. Instead, they go into the locker room, down one, with a chance to regroup and come out and try to tie this game in the third.
Yeah, absolutely. And then following that up on that last possession, you get one more break up the ice. Santini has it. He drops it off to Sanford. Really would have hoped for him there. With that little time left to just pick a shot on net, you don't have much time. You're not going to start something in the offensive zone. This just goes back to the problem that the Eagles have been having of getting pucks on net.
I've always thought it was tough for hockey players to know how much time is left. I've never played the game, but in basketball, you know, in pro and college, there's always the clock right above the net.
Sure.
You know how much time is left when you're shooting. Hockey players, I don't know how they figure it out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have not played the game either, so I couldn't tell you on that. Second period goals coming from Colin White for BC, and then 2 goals for the Huskies by Nolan Stevens and Eric Williams, and the final goal of that period by Miles Wood, his second of the game, resulting in a 4-3 Northeastern lead. We'll send it back to the studio, but we will be right back for a hectic third period. Take it away, Casey.
Thank you very much, Scott. What an exciting second period from TD Garden we have as Northeastern leads Boston College 4-3. Well, going into that period, BC is able to make it a little bit closer, I would say. Of course, being down 2-1 at the end of the first, both teams putting up 2 goals in the second. The goal scored in the second period, Colin White, just a minute 10 in, his 19th goal of the season off the 17th assist of the season off Matthew Goudreau. And just a minute later, with 2:55 into the second period, Northeastern's Nolan Stevens scores off an assist from his own brother, John Stevens, and Adam Gaudette, who had scored earlier in the game. And then at 10:55, Northeastern gets a goal from Eric Williams off Kevin Waugh and Dylan Sakura. And then BC with the power play goal by Miles Wood, his 10th of the season, second of the game at 13:54 from Ryan Fitzgerald and Teddy Doherty. Wow, this has been a fun game. Of course, after the very long UMass Lowell and Providence College game that went into 3 overtimes, this game finally got started at 10:34. Of course, this is the Hockey East semifinals from TD Garden. The winner will be playing tomorrow night against UMass Lowell at 7 o'clock. I think whoever wins tonight will certainly have an edge after UMass Lowell's team looked like they were basically walking around near the end of that game. So it will certainly be an upper hand for whoever plays tomorrow night. Shots on goal so far tonight. Thatcher Demko has saved 18, allowing 4 for a total of 22. For Ryan Ruck, only 8 saves on the night with 3 goals allowed. It's been really a low shot total for the Eagles, which you usually don't expect. Adam Gilmore and Colin White, as well as Miles Wood, all have 3 shots on goal. Chris Brown and Alex Tuck, the only 2 other Eagles to actually have shots, which goes to show that the Northeastern defense is certainly playing out of their mind this evening. And their offense has been incredible already. If you look at some of the shot leaders, it's Dylan Sakura with 4 shots. Zach Aston-Reese, four shots. And Northeastern is really making it difficult for the Eagles to get back into this one. Of course, if you look at some of the penalties, this one has been a chippy one with four going towards BC, two of those roughing penalties, one holding and a slashing. And for Northeastern, two slashing penalties and a roughing. It has been a fun game so far from TD Garden. But let's take a look at the big hockey news from tonight. The women's hockey team, I'll mention it once again, going undefeated in their route to the national championship game on Sunday. 40-0-0, they beat Clarkson, coming down from 0-2. Today they were able to win in overtime. They will play Sunday at the University of New Hampshire, Durham. And they will be playing for the national championship, only the second team in women's hockey history to go undefeated if they are able to accomplish that feat, which would be incredible. You hear so much about BC's football and basketball situations, but you know what? Even if they can't win ACC games, these men's and women's hockey teams are amazing. And heck, the baseball team isn't too bad either. They did lose today against Clemson 6-2, but they have been able to improve of late and are certainly a team with which to be reckoned. Let's take a look at some college hockey scores from tonight. In the Atlantic Hockey Tournament, Robert Morris beat Army 2-1 in overtime. RIT over Air Force 2-1 in overtime. In the ECAC, Harvard going up against St. Lawrence. Take Harvard the Crimson winning 2-1 in overtime. A lot of overtime so far tonight. And the other game, Quinnipiac over Dartmouth 3-1. In the Hockey East Tournament, of course, as you know, three overtimes it took for the Riverhawks of UMass Lowell to beat the Friars 2-1. In the WCHA Tournament, Ferris State beat Michigan Tech 1-0, and Minnesota State beat Bowling Green 2-1. In the NCHC Tournament, the St. Cloud State team, which is number 3 in the country as it stands, beat Denver 4-2. And Minnesota Duluth with an upset over North Dakota, 4-2, they win that one. In the Big Ten Tournament, Minnesota beat Ohio State 4-2. And in Ann Arbor, Michigan put up a number 7 on the Nittany Lions of Penn State, 7-2. The Wolverines take that one. And of course, tonight, the only game still going on in college hockey is Boston College and Northeastern. That game is currently 4-3 Northeastern at the end of the second period. Certainly this has been a great game and an interesting one. Of course, Northeastern coming into this game 18-1-2 in their last 21 games. BC, after a big win last week in overtime against the University of Vermont, a team that they should have beat a little bit faster and a little bit sooner than it took. But the Eagles soon seem to have troubles when it comes to the quarterfinals of the Hockey East, and this is the first time since 2012 that they have, or 2013, I should say, that they have been back in at the Garden, haven't won since 2012. Tonight, of course, leading the way for the Eagles, it really has been Miles Wood as well as Colin White, both the two young phenoms playing extremely well for the Eagles. Of course, Colin White with one goal and Miles Wood with two really goes to show the strength of the Eagles in their young guns. And it's interesting to see how Thatcher Demko has really been able to keep the Eagles in this after shot-on-shot attempt from Northeastern. And with 18 saves, he's really keeping the Eagles in this game. Well, let's take a look at some of the scores. Of course, it is March Madness. There are so many games going on all at once. 16 today, 16 yesterday. A couple crazy upsets today. Michigan State already lost. The number 2 seed picked in plenty of brackets. Many brackets have been busted. Middle Tennessee takes that one 90-81. Currently in the second, time winding down, Northern Iowa leads the Longhorns of Texas 69-67. Michigan and Notre Dame, this game just going final. Notre Dame takes it over the Wolverines 70-63. This one going down to the wire. 4:57 remaining in the second. Cincinnati Bearcats have a lead over St. Joseph's 71-68. Middle Tennessee, of course, with that huge win over Michigan State. Really didn't see that one coming. An incredible game. Hats off to Middle Tennessee for possibly being a Cinderella team, but creating the biggest upset so far in this tournament. Oregon making slight work of Holy Cross 91-52. Villanova beat UNC Asheville 86-56. Oklahoma beat CSU Bakersfield 82-68. Stephen F. Austin with a real big upset today over the University of West Virginia. They win 70-56. Xavier beat Weber State earlier today 71-53. Texas A&M over Green Bay, 92-65. The Terps of Maryland, 79, to South Dakota State, 74. Hawaii pulling the upset over Cal, 77-66. The Hawkeyes of Iowa beat the Owls of Temple, 72-70. The Orange of Syracuse, 70, and Dayton, 51. VCU, 75. The Oregon State Beavers, 75-67. And to round it out, Wisconsin beating Pitt 47-43. Pitt, of course, the only ACC team to lose so far in this tournament. It has been a really good one so far for the ACC after a pitiful performance, to say the least, last year with many teams going home in the first round. But, of course, tonight, college hockey, this is the semifinals for Hockey East. The winner for this game goes on to play the University of Massachusetts Lowell tomorrow night. And, of course, this game would certainly predict or help to predict who's going to have the best chance tomorrow when they played three overtimes in from the Garden tonight. Likely, it appears that all four of the teams playing tonight will be making the college hockey playoffs, which the selection, of course, is occurring this Sunday. Boston College looks to be a one seed. Northeastern trying to sneak in, currently ranked 14th. Only 16 teams make it, and they're certainly making their case tonight for why they should be in, leading BC 4-3 in the second intermission. And I think that Northeastern really understands that, and after a pitiful start to the season, they have just played incredibly, really earning their spot in the Hockey East semifinals and potentially the tournament. Providence and UMass Lowell, who both played earlier tonight, are likely favorites to enter as two or three seeds. And Boston University and Northeastern, both teams being ousted last weekend, Boston University going down at the Songus Center to UMass Lowell, and Notre Dame losing to Northeastern. Both those teams are expected to also make the NCAA tournament. While it's not the same as March Madness, it is still a fun tournament to enjoy. Boston College did make the Frozen Four in 2014 with Johnny Gaudreau, Kevin Hayes, Bill Arnold leading the way for that team, and a very young Thatcher Demko, a freshman who had barely seen much time, replacing the junior Brian Billett at that point, and was able to lead the Eagles to the Frozen Four, although tough loss there. Was met with great applause as Johnny Gaudreau, Kevin Hayes, and Bill Arnold all moved on to the next level, as well as Patrick Brown, the captain of that team. Last year, of course, a little bit different. The Eagles did make it as a three seed, went down to Denver in the first round, and there was no John Gaudreau for them, and Thatcher Demko really did not play up to potential. But this season, I believe, has been different. This season has been a tale of a dominant team. Jerry York getting his 1,000th career victory. A few weeks later, winning the Beanpot in overtime against Boston University, their crosstown rivals. And of course, BC would like to add a Hockey East Tournament Championship after winning the regular season championship. But all of it really comes down to this third period. This third period where Northeastern, who hopes to cling on to this season, Boston College, who wants to make this their best season in a very long time, and they hope to do that tonight. The third period is coming up as we're sending it back to Scott Guymon. Scott, are you ready to go on? All right, and we will send that out now to TD Garden. Scott, Anthony, Quinn on the call. Take it away.
Welcome back to the 2016 Hockey East semifinal matchup between the Boston College Eagles and the Northeastern Huskies. After two periods, the Huskies lead the Eagles 4-3. Anthony and Quinn, we've seen a lot of physical play in this past second period. Is that foreshadowing what's to come in this third period?
I absolutely think so. I think as the second period went on, the game got more and more physical. We saw a couple of individual battles. Even the Colin White, Sam Kirker
flame reignite. We saw it in the first period, happened again in the second, them getting a little bit chippy after a play. So I do expect that to be the way this period goes. No matter what happens with the score, whether it remains close, the teams are going to be scrapping and quite literally fighting for every goal. But if one team opens up a sizable lead, the other team is going to get frustrated, and we're going to see physicality for that reason. So, yeah, I certainly expect to see that.
Absolutely. And I think off of that physicality, BC came out, and I think they had the better period. They were a little bit more of the physical team. I think if you were scoring this one like a fight in the first period, Northeastern gets the edge, obviously because of that late period goal and because they controlled the tempo a little bit more. That one, very even matchup, but BC, I think, had a slight edge. Now in this one, BC's down a goal. They need to go for the knockout in this round. Don't want to send it to overtime, but even if you do, you're going to have to at least even it up. So they need to come out and continue to be aggressive, like you said, Anthony, and work to get that goal early and save themselves time for another.
They certainly do, and it's been the freshman show for BC so far tonight. We had the early first period goal by Miles Wood, the early second period goal by Colin White, and then Miles Wood tallying again later on in that second period. So great to see, but obviously you want to see a little more from the upperclassmen of BC. I know they only have one senior forward in Travis Jake, but I'd like to see a little bit more out of the Cangelosis and Ryan Fitzgerald, who have been a little bit invisible at times in this game as we get into the third.
Exactly, and you know, the Eagles really have to stay disciplined and stick to the fundamentals. Being down one goal with one period to play can be frustrating. Now, of course, they have to play physically, but stick to the fundamentals. Make solid passes. We've seen too many turnovers in this game, a lot behind the goals, a lot in the neutral zone, and that can't happen. You have to have nice, crisp breakouts and really generate offense off of those breakouts and get shots on the net. We see that BC can convert after scoring three goals on just 11 shots. Now, how often have we seen 11 shots after two periods by this Eagles team?
Not very often.
Very seldom, yeah. BC is at the top of the charts in college hockey in shots, especially in the first period. They've been a kind of a first-period team all year, it seems. But this time, as you said, only 5.5 shots per period.
And look, this team, 5-on-5, the Eagles are a better team than Northeastern. They've shown it today. They need to stay out of the penalty box. It is of utmost importance in this last period that they don't spend any time next to the timekeeper.
Austin Cangelosi facing off against Nolan Stevens here. Cangelosi with the face-off win. Steve Santini loses control of that and picked up by Aston Reese. Over to John Stevens with a shot on Thatcher Demko, blocked with the right pad. And that puck sails down the right side of the ice, down into Northeastern territory as the Huskies. Matt Benning brings this puck up to center ice over to Zach Aston Reese, but that's turned over. Now Austin Cangelosi finds the puck on the left side of the ice, brings this into the zone. Steve Santini unable to keep that puck into the zone. Casey Fitzgerald able to help out the Eagles there, get some fresh legs onto the ice. Huskies initiating the breakout. Have this puck at center ice. That is Dylan Sakura. Fires that over to Gaudette, who takes a wide shot on Demko, and that puck escapes the zone. Sosterman will chase that puck down behind Ryan Ruck and fire this one off the glass. A nice lead pass up to Adam Gaudette. But Casey Fitzgerald gets in the way, provides a blockage and a little scrum there in the left corner. Ryan Fitzgerald comes away with the puck. Up to Colin White at center ice. Colin White over to Fitzgerald, and Fitzgerald just caught offside. He almost had a rush, but the referees caught him offside with 18:45 to play here. Northeastern up 4-3.
And that one's on Matty Gaudreau. He really wasn't aware of what Colin and Fitzgerald had in the works, which would have been beautiful because it was wide open, a perfect lane for Fitzgerald to go through, but Matty coming from the left side of the ice just wasn't communicating well with them, got in ahead of the play.
Face off in the neutral zone, Zach Sanford up against Brendan Collier. Eagles win this one, but it sails back behind Demko. So the Eagles defense looks to command this one. Steve Santini circling around Demko once or twice, and he skates at full speed ahead. Passes it off to the right to Zach Sanford, who brings this puck into the zone but loses control. Santini able to play backstop there. This puck goes behind Ruck. Sanford passes it off, but Sam Kirker finds the puck for the Huskies and gains possession there. Huskies send this puck into the scorer's table between the penalty boxes, and we'll have a faceoff coming at 18:10 of the third.
Yeah, no clear edge so far in the first minute and 50 of the second period. But I think one of the keys that we haven't mentioned yet is BC needs to win a few more races to loose pucks. That's something Northeastern has done a great job of, especially in the first period. But it's an area where BC can you know, make a little hay and climb back by getting more possession time.
Face off in front of Ruck here in the Eagles offensive zone. Here's Cangelosi up against Nolan Stevens. The Huskies win the draw. Aston Reese dumps this puck along the right-hand boards, and Demko behind the net, playing very aggressively as the Eagles maintain, and Sosserman fires a shot that's deflected wide of Demko. Picked up here by Christopher Brown, but quickly controlled by the Huskies. The Huskies have this puck. Nolan Stevens looking to find his teammate, but Christopher Brown able to catch that one, slides it over to Miles Wood, who dumps that back down behind Ruck. Eagles get a quick line change. Cangelosi playing great on the forecheck, but getting tossed around there by Dustin DeRue. Colton Sosserman off to John Stevens. John Stevens finds the puck, sends it down deep into his zone. Tanner Pond unable to battle there with Casey Fitzgerald. He passes it off to brother Ryan Fitzgerald. Ryan Fitzgerald with a shot, but just high. And it sails back over to Casey. Casey over to Ian McCaution with a bit of a flop of a shot. Ryan Fitzgerald behind the net. Ryan Fitzgerald unable to take a shot there. Casey picks up after him and sends that deep into the zone. And it's brought up by the Northeastern Huskies there. A little toss-up there in the neutral zone. Both teams get some new skaters on the ice. Here we have the Huskies bringing in Adam Gaudette with a big clobbering hit by Colin White. And it looks like we'll have a penalty against Colin White. That's his second penalty of the game. And the Huskies will go to a 5-on-4 advantage with 16:40 to play in the third.
Now that's a bad mistake from Colin White. Hit him way up high. But, tough embellishment there from Gaudette, who goes down and really works it. And then as soon as he gets the call, gets up and starts yapping at Colin White. Just a tough, another rookie mistake here from Colin, who has taken some tough penalties in some of these bigger games in the hockey tournament.
That's what you get with freshmen. You get the good, such as the goal he scored, and you get the bad, the boarding call, 3:20 into this third period, and obviously a crucial kill for BC. The Northeastern power play tonight is 2 for 3, and they've only had 2 shots. Both of them have got by Demko.
This is a critical penalty kill here for the Eagles. You know, it's tough seeing you lose one of your top scorers in Colin White. He already has a goal on the game. And now the Eagles will go down a man for 2 minutes to play. Mike McMurtry on the faceoff. He wins a shot by Colton Sosserman on Thatcher Demko, but that hits the netting up above the goal, and we'll have a faceoff to the right of Thatcher Demko.
Good movement by Thatcher in the crease. They're able to go streaming across. The puck got to Sosserman on the opposite side pretty quickly, so excellent vision from him and able to deflect that one up.
Yeah, you never want as clear of a path as Sosserman had there on the shot, but as you said, Quinn, good movement by Demko. Nice stick save to get a faceoff.
Cangelosi taking his draw for the Eagles on the penalty kill up against Mike McMurtry. Cangelosi comes away with this one, and that puck is sent down the length of the ice there. Eagles able to clear that on the penalty kill.
Important win from Cangelosi there.
And the Huskies take it slow behind the net, looking to initiate this breakout here, trying to find some offense on the rush. Puck brought up by Eric Williams, and that's sent behind the net over to Demko. Stopped by Sakura, and this puck is knocked wide. Miles Wood up on the left side of the ice. But he sends it back to the neutral ice to regain some control. Eagles have the puck. Steve Santini sends this down to the ice. And we have a nice forecheck by Ryan Fitzgerald, who wraps around the net. But the Huskies regain possession here. Here's Dylan Sakura. Center ice. Sakura enters the zone all by himself, but he'll be called for offsides. 15:45 to play here in the third. The Huskies with a 4-3 advantage.
Nice job of BC playing a little bit of a game of keep away, not allowing Northeastern to set up in the offensive zone since that initial shot by Sosserman 8 seconds into the power play. They're about halfway through this kill. It would be great if they could continue to play that keep away game.
A fantastic check by Tuck there to force the offside.
1:05 to go in the Colin White boarding penalty. The Huskies win this faceoff here. Enter the neutral zone. John Stevens on the left side up along the board. Sends it down to Aston Reese. But the Eagles defense able to get that puck and send it down the ice, down to Ryan Ruck. The Eagles penalty kill really having some success. The Huskies initiating the rush here is Nolan Stevens. Nolan Stevens over to Aston Reese, over to John Stevens, and a huge save by Thatcher Demko. It was a cross-crease pass, and Demko able to get the blocker on that, and they able to cover up the puck.
My God. There is standing on your head, and there is standing on your head. Holy moly. Thatcher Demko playing like the Hockey's Player of the Year here. A sprawling save, and he looks like he gets it with the knuckles there. Unbelievable job.
Absolutely, Quinn. He did get it with the knuckles. It was underneath his blocker, but it hit him in the fingers, and he deflected it away.
Northeastern wins this faceoff, and a quick shot here on Demko, but Demko able to... And it looks like there will be no goal on this play. A little confusion as to where the puck was.
The puck, it looks like it hit Demko and then hopped up over on his back, and he tried to throw the catcher a glove behind him to catch it, and it just kicked it out, and people are in the net, and the puck scoots out the other side.
Yeah, absolute chaos. As you said, yeah, the puck was kind of rolling down his back. He tried to reach around with his glove and snag it behind his back, but he couldn't. But there was so much traffic in front that it hit a few bodies and never crossed the goal line as far as we can tell.
Didn't look like it really came close. Looked like it pretty much stayed out in the front of the crease because of where Demko was positioned.
Gaudette lined up against Fitzgerald here. Fitzgerald wins the faceoff, and Ian McCaution slaps the puck down. Ryan Ruck gets this puck. Just under 15 minutes to play here. 10 seconds left to go on the Colin White penalty. And the Huskies rush up the ice. Here's Nolan Stevens along the right side boards. Knocks that puck along the end boards. Casey Fitzgerald comes up with the puck, but he's unable. He gets tossed up, and that's picked up by Adam Gaudette. Adam Gaudette unable to get a shot off. Knocked wide by Casey Fitzgerald, and the penalty is over, so we are even strength here. 4-3 Northeastern lead with 14:26 to play.
That's exactly the kill BC needed.
Husky defenseman communicating. Working this puck up is Kevin Waugh along the left side. Kevin Waugh skates over towards the slot. Back up to Jarrett Fennell, who takes a shot on Demko, but Zach Sanford able to get a stick on that. And the Eagles will look to go to the power play as the Huskies will be called for tripping.
Excellent job. And once again, hopefully the penalty kill into power play for the Eagles can spell momentum shifting again.
Definitely. Zach Sanford was tripped up trying to break out of the zone. Had he been able to do so, BC might have had a 3-on-2 with their top line. Instead, they get the 2-minute man advantage, and this is a huge one, guys. 14:07 to go. They get Fitzgerald, Tangelosi out there.
Fitzgerald unable to win this faceoff, so here comes John Stevens on the penalty kill. He's a man of many talents, plays the penalty kill and the power play. Eagles here. Teddy Doherty initiates the rush up to Tangelosi, who fires a pass across, and this one gets behind the net. Tangelosi putting some pressure on the forecheck, but the Huskies are able to clear, send the puck down to Demko, and get some new skaters on the ice for that penalty kill. Teddy Doherty up to Austin Tangelosi at the center spoke to be. Eagles, Ryan Fitzgerald dangling around the Huskies. And a nice shot there on Ruck, but it goes just wide. And the puck sails down again. Clear. 1:15 to go on the Eagles power play. Just over 13 minutes to play here in regulation. The Eagles find the puck here at center ice. Zach Sanford takes the puck on the left side of the ice, and the puck escapes the zone. Looks like there was a big hit there, no call.
No, it was puck hit his own man, Colin White, unintentionally.
And the Huskies, once again, able to clear this puck down, and the Eagles, Zach Sanford, picks this puck up at the red line, but Aston Reese playing great pressure, and Aston Reese finds the man. Over to Nolan Stevens. But Stevens unable to hold on to that puck, and McCaution swipes it away. McCaution up to Zach Sanford along the left. Sanford looks to initiate that pass, but unable to get it through. And a nice shot there by the Eagles. There's Alex Tuck. Ian McCaution unable to keep that in. And we have 20 seconds left to go on this Eagles power play. Colin White with the puck. Sends it back to Ian McCaution. Fires it down to Zach Sanford across the crease. But McCaution unable to keep track of that puck, and it escapes the zone once again. Boy, Ian McCaution just unable to see this puck multiple times in a row, and that will do it for the Eagles penalty. Power play, excuse me. So we are back to full strength. 12 minutes to play in this game, and Aston Reese really putting on the pressure in the forecheck. Zach Sanford, been on the ice for quite a while, slugging around in the Huskies gain possession of this puck. Here's Kevin Waugh taking it up center ice. Crosses into the zone. Kevin Waugh fires a shot, but that one sails into the crowd, so we will have a whistle with 11:42 to play here in the third.
Boy, without mincing words, that was a dreadful Boston College power play, and Ian McCaution was skating to the bench as the puck was coming towards him. He had to, presumably, be yelled at by his teammates on the bench to turn around and find that puck. Otherwise, that could have been dangerous for BC, but McCaution also got beat one-on-one on that Aston Reese opportunity. This is clearly not his day.
No, it really isn't. But I got to tell you, on that one where he was skating to the bench, I think that one's got to go on Gilmore there. They had 10 seconds left. You know it's winding down, even if you're not fully aware of the clock. He needs to know that he needs to get it back forward. McCaution was doing the right thing. He was getting off at the end of the power play, trying to get somebody from the other end of the bench to start moving forward. And Gilmore, it didn't look like McCaution was looking at it at any point and just tossed it back.
That's a good point. You could maybe attribute it to Gilmore being a forward, not being used to making that
right.
Kind of own zone, D-to-D kind of pass. A little bit of miscommunication, as Gilmore obviously is a winger and not a defenseman.
Absolutely. But like you said, a tough power play there for the Eagles. They really had one good cycle, and it came when Colin White made the decision on his own to just start putting pucks on net. And that's what they got to do. We've said it the entire broadcast that they just need to start throwing pucks towards the net. And when they simplified it, they were able to get a few more good chances. They're getting a little too cute for anything to happen for them.
And Quinn, to add on to your point, looking at the shot totals as of now, Northeastern has twice as many shots on goal as the Eagles. They're leading 28-14. So the Eagles really just have to pile on shots in front of Ruck, create some traffic, and get a scrappy goal. It doesn't have to be pretty. Just put a puck in the back of the net.
Yeah, BC is a team that averages 33 shots a game. Very bizarre to see them at only 14 with 11:42 to play.
Defensive zone faceoff coming up here between Cangelosi and McMurtry. The Eagles able to win this one. And here comes Steve Santini with a nice lead pass, but unable to find his man. And Saucerman slides over to get this puck. Kevin Waugh in his defensive zone passes it up to McMurtry. McMurtry over to Gaudette. Gaudette on the right side looking for the shot. Up in the slot. But it's stolen away there by Chris Brown. And Miles Wood on the right side has the puck down to Cangelosi on the right. Coming up, Cangelosi around the net. Can't find an open man. And a stick goes flying on the ice over to Cangelosi up in the slot and a shot off the post. What an unbelievable opportunity there by Austin Cangelosi.
One of the rare times tonight BC has gotten a shot from the top of the circle, a high-density scoring area, and just rang off the corner by where the crossbar meets the right post. A beautiful opportunity for Cangelosi, and he just missed it.
Oh, he had him beat, though. He had him beat. Anytime you can get in a puck behind the goalie like that, you got to just feel sick to your stomach when you hear that clang of iron.
Big faceoff for the Eagles here. Colin White matching up against Nolan Stevens. Colin White gets this one deep into the zone, but Stevens able to come away with the puck. Over to Aston Reese, up center ice, high slot. Shot on Thatcher Demko, but he has no issue stopping that. 10:55 to play here in regulation. The Huskies leading the Eagles 4-3.
A bit of a recurring problem now. That's 1-for-6 the Eagles are on offensive zone faceoff. Those are the crucial times. You need to win that and try to get a shot right in on Ruck when he's, you know, perhaps not prepared, get a little cycle through the zone, something like that, but they have not been able to keep it in the zone off an offensive faceoff.
We'll have a faceoff to Demko's left here. Tanner Pond matching up against Ryan Fitzgerald. Fitzgerald wins that one over to Matthew Goudreau, who's unable to knock that out of the defensive zone, so the Huskies will keep some offensive pressure here on the Eagles. Fitzgerald knocks that along at the right side of the board, so the Husky defenseman will have to chase that. Huskies enter the zone here, but Matthew Goudreau all over the ice, really keeping it alive for the Eagles. Some nasty turnovers here, and a big hit on Colin White at center ice. White unable to find his stick. But Casey Fitzgerald takes this puck passes it off to Colin White. And a big, big goal by number 19, Lincoln Griffin. An unexpected goal off of the turnover. And that sails past Thatcher Demko to give the Huskies a 5-3 lead.
That sequence for Colin White went from bad to worse to nightmare. He got lit up in front of the Northeastern bench, took a little bit of a heckling from their bench, you could tell. Then he couldn't find his stick, finally collects it, and then in the defensive zone commits an inexcusable turnover, and Lincoln Griffin with the finish past Demko. 5-3 Huskies.
Griffin out of nowhere intercepting that pass and going backhand against Demko. A big, big goal deep into this game with 10 minutes to play. The Eagles get a quick possession. Alex Tuck fires a shot on Ruck, but Ruck, brick wall, stops that. 10:03 to play here. The Huskies now with a 5-3 lead.
Yeah, as we go back to that turnover here, still not really sure what Colin White saw as we get a look at the replay in our booth.
I think he just had to have thought that Lincoln Griffin was somebody on his team. I can't for the life of me explain it other than that.
He did put the puck right on the stick of Griffin.
Eagles win this faceoff in the offensive zone, but quickly taken over by Northeastern. Here comes John Stevens up the ice. Little pass and Aston Reese there, right at the right spot. Zach Sanford knocks him over and takes that puck. Alex Tuck up the right side of the ice. Alex Tuck takes the puck around the net. Looks to backhand that pass over, but unable to convert as John Stevens is tied up with Adam Gilmore behind the net. Nobody really able to get control of that puck, and a nice pass there by Sanford to Santini. Santini across the blue line to Savage, who rips the shot, but just wide. And another quick shot by Sanford, just wide again. The Eagles able to keep this puck in by Steve Santini. Tuck with a nice wrister on the net, and Tuck with a backhanded rebound goal to get the Eagles their fourth goal of the game. 9:10 to play. Alex Tuck with the fourth goal.
And that is the 5-on-5 advantage that the Eagles have. That was a superb shift by Sanford and Tuck, who are the best forecheckers, backcheckers, and hustle players on this team. They're a second line that grinds like a fourth. Unbelievable series for them.
Say this for the Eagles. They've played sloppily defensively. We've killed them for the turnovers, but they are not quitting at the offensive end. Sanford, the shot, the rebound trickled to Ruck's right. He didn't know where it was, and Tuck gets his 15th of the year by being in the crease. As we said, creating traffic in front of that, he backhands it in uncontested. BC's within one with 9:10 to go.
Tuck doing exactly what he had to do in following his shot and generating offense off of the rebound. And off this faceoff, the puck sails right down to Ryan Ruck, and that'll be covered up. We will have a face-off to Ruck's right after this timeout.
Just an absolutely huge answer by BC. Down two, and less than 2 minutes later, they cut into the deficit. Could not have come at a better time. You don't want to sit around and let it get down to the five-minute mark, still trailing by two. They got it with plenty of time to get the equalizer. Probably about 7 or 8 minutes before they even have to think about pulling a goalie.
Absolutely. Well, you know, first on the one end, Lincoln Griffin, he scored his first collegiate goal here on the Heights against the Eagles, and now he gets his second goal of the year against the Eagles, obviously likes to shine bright against the big teams. And then Tuck, of course, has always been a big-time player, the first-round draft pick for Minnesota, coming up huge there. Like you said, followed his own shot in. He really generated the entirety of that play with Sanford playing the conductor role from behind.
And a player like Alex Tuck, he's known to be a very energetic and animated player, whether it's positive or negative. We see him, if he takes, you know, if he gets a penalty, he'll get very physical and chippy. But if you see him score a goal late in the game like that, look for him to carry that momentum and be increasingly physical, fire more shots. He rides on momentum and lives on it. So it's crucial for the Eagles to leverage Alex Tuck the remainder of this game.
Yeah, we're already playing some Saturday morning hockey here at 12:37 a.m. So I think BC's thinking if they can get one more, why not play for as long as Providence and UMass Lowell did earlier with that triple overtime game?
Hey, we could be here until the wee hours of the morning. And we're getting ready for the faceoff here in the Eagles' offensive zone.
Once again, this is where they need to win. You need to get something right on Ruck, right off this faceoff, and Cangelosi is the guy down there to do it.
Cangelosi up against Adam Gaudette. Puck is dropped. Cangelosi wins this one, but the puck is knocked loose. A little chase for it there. Santini keeps the puck in the zone for the Eagles. Again, the Huskies having trouble clearing that out. So Chris Brown putting great pressure on Dustin Derue. Little scrum there in the corner. But a Husky stick knocks that puck wide. Steve Santini looks to regain composure here. Passes that puck up to Teddy Doherty. Teddy Doherty up the right side of the ice. Takes that one himself. Dumps it behind. Finds Cangelosi in the corner. But Dylan Sekura finds the puck at center ice and dumps that one wide. Both teams getting fresh legs on the ice here. 8:22 to play in the third period. 5-4 lead, Northeastern. Quick pass at center ice, intended for Casey Fitzgerald, but unable to get there, and that puck will sail into the Boston College bench. 8:12 to play here in the final period. A 5-4 lead for Northeastern.
One play that shouldn't go unnoticed. Dylan Sekura tipping that loose puck out of the Huskies' defensive zone. BC was trying to get set up again and fire some shots for the equalizer, but Sekura left out and got just enough stick on it to poke it to center ice and force BC to clear the zone.
Eagles really controlling this game here, getting another offensive zone faceoff. Ryan Fitzgerald unable to win that, but it is controlled by Michael Kim, who sends that into the neutral ice. Quickly picked up by the Huskies. Just a little back and forth play here. Scott Savage. A little miscommunication there with Michael Kim. Michael Kim back to Savage behind Thatcher Demko. Big pass there by Savage. Up to Ryan Fitzgerald. Fitzgerald circles around the ice. Finds Savage at the point. Savage down low. Back up to Savage. Savage with a shot in traffic but unable to get it through. Colin White now back down to Ryan Fitzgerald. Fitzgerald up to Savage. Savage with another shot, but again blocked. And Kevin Waugh now has a one-on-one. Kevin Waugh enters the zone. Spins around Michael Kim. Kim keeps that puck into the zone for the Huskies. Dustin Derue now with the puck for the Huskies. Derue down the end boards. Back behind the net for Aston Reese. Aston Reese looking for the open man, but that's broken up by Alex Tuck. Huskies have the puck there behind the net. Aston Reese with Tuck right on his cover, and the puck sails to neutral ice. And we have Zach Sanford just called for offsides there. 6:55 to play here. Again, Northeastern leads Boston College in the third period, 5-4.
Credit to Sanford there. Did the absolute best job he could trying to carry that puck into the zone while staying onside. Just really got caught up, and he an excellent forecheck there. He really fought through.
Savage got pretty aggressive on the offensive end and almost led to a breakaway by Waugh. I think BC's lucky that Waugh waited for help instead of taking it to the net.
Neutral zone faceoff initially won by Northeastern, but sent down the ice for icing, so we will have a faceoff off to Ryan Ruck's right.
And on that Waugh breakaway, Anthony, it was surprising to me that BC decided they would go in for a change. I thought that was a very savvy play by Waugh, kind of pulling up and making them think he was going to wait for a change, maybe dump in. Eagles got comfortable, and that led to a possible break there for Northeastern.
Sanford up against Tanner Pond. Sanford putting great pressure there on the forecheck as Tuck tries to knock that one loose, but this one's regained by the Huskies. Sent in to Thatcher Demko. Demko handles that one himself over to Sanford. And the Eagles have this puck, Casey Fitzgerald, looking for a man to pass to. He sends that all the way down the ice. Initially covered up there by Ruck, but dished off to the defenseman. Big lead pass there, intended for the Eagles. Here comes McMurtry, but that one's broken up there by Ian McCaution. Alex Tuck finds the puck. Takes this one up himself, up the right side of the ice, but gets clobbered there by McMurtry, and Cangelosi able to follow up, brings the puck behind the net, followed closely by Teddy Doherty and Miles Wood. Loose puck and Cangelosi, but Wood really throwing himself in there, trying to get the puck, and a quick shot there onto Ruck by Ian McCaution, but Ruck able to close that one off. Just under 6 minutes to play here for the Hockey East semifinal between Boston College and Northeastern.
I think that might have actually been Santini throwing that one in there, and it was a smart play by him because, really, if he doesn't do anything with that, if he tries to cycle it through and they screw up, it was open ice ahead, and there were not enough Eagles back. So with so many Eagles stuck back, forced behind the net, good play by him to throw it on and force the cover by Ruck.
And it takes us to, I believe, a media timeout, so both teams get a breather, and they both, I believe, have their timeouts in their back pocket. We're starting to get near the territory where you might see those used. But for BC, you know, the story really hasn't changed. We've said it all night, continue to create pressure and get shots without being, you know, too vulnerable on the defensive end. You can't afford to give up a breakaway. It's not panic time yet. It's certainly time to play aggressively, but it's not time to throw four forwards on the ice and leave yourself vulnerable to a breakaway chance by Northeastern.
Now, when would you pull Thatcher Demko if you were Coach York? We have just under 6 minutes to play. Would you pull him at about 3 minutes, or would you wait till about two, maybe 1.5 minutes?
I tend to lean towards waiting. That's just how I feel personally. With all teams, not really just BC. I think 3 minutes is entirely too early. It's not like BC can't score 5-on-5. They've shown that they can, so I would wait until about the two-minute mark, personally.
I agree with the two-minute mark. I think this team has too much skill offensively to pull early like that and really worry about being able to get a goal.
Face off in the Eagles' offensive zone, Cangelosi up against Stevens. Cangelosi wins this. Kept in by Teddy Doherty, and a nice shot there by Miles Wood goes wide. Another quick shot by Steve Santini, putting a lot of pressure on Ruck. Covered up, 5:45 to play.
I think somebody for doing it. I'm glad that somebody on the Eagles is taking the initiative to start Pepper and Ruck here, especially as we're winding down in this one.
Yeah, think about it. This might be the biggest game of Ryan Ruck's life as a freshman. It's certainly the biggest game of his college career. Northeastern is fighting for their lives. Their season could end tonight with a loss because they're very much on the NCAA tournament bubble, and if they don't win tonight and tomorrow night, they're unlikely to get in. This is huge for them. You wonder what kind of nerves Ryan Ruck is feeling as a freshman playing in this big game.
Christopher Brown in there for the faceoff for the Eagles, winning that one. Keeping the possession alive is Austin Cangelosi, pinned up against the boards in the corner. Little tussle there along the right side. Puck sails behind Ruck. But the Eagles unable to find this puck. Miles Wood knocks this puck deep into the zone to keep it alive. And another quick shot by Austin Cangelosi on Ruck, but it stopped with 5:19 to go here in the third.
As you mentioned, Anthony, they are fighting for their lives. With the way some of the conference tournaments shook out, they are eliminated from contention for an NCAA bid if they don't win the conference tournament. They're sitting at 14 now, and so many of the conference winners have been outside of the top 16 in the pairwise, the 16 that make up the field. So they are just a bit too far outside unless they're able to win the Hockey East.
Gaudette wins the draw for the Huskies. And the Huskies are able to push forward. Here's Gaudette, but he's called for a high stick, so that'll send the faceoff down to the Northeastern zone.
Yeah, the Northeastern fans don't like the call, and I don't quite blame them. It was hard for me to see where that high stick came into play, but it's a break for the Eagles as this faceoff will go all the way back down, and they'll get Colin White on the draw, flanked by Ryan Fitzgerald, the Eagles' top goal scorer.
Colin White looking to win this one here. He's able to keep it alive himself. Fitzgerald cycles his pack to his brother, Casey. Casey over to McCaution. McCaution with a quick shot on Ruck. And Ruck sprawls to save that one. And we have a little bit of extracurricular play here. Looks like Jarrett Fennell is getting into it with the Eagles.
Shoved down Colin White, almost on top of his own goalie, Ruck. No call.
I gotta say, I don't know if it's just because he's skilled enough. He is the rookie of the year in the Hockey East. Or if he's just a great trash talker, but he has a way of getting under people's skin, and Cockrell really was eaten up by him there.
Right, I mean, considering he boarded Gaudette earlier, I think that might also have something to do with it.
True.
Eagles win this offensive faceoff. Ian McCaution sends this along the end boards. Little traffic in front, unable to get a man there with Matty Goudreau. This puck control by the Eagles. Colin White there in front, and unable to keep that in with Casey Fitzgerald, so the Eagles look to regroup. Send this one deep in past Ruck. Matty Goudreau fires a backhander, but that's blocked by a defenseman as John Stevens brings this one up. Aston Reese gets a piece of it, but McCaution unable to hold that one in. 4.5 minutes to play here in regulation. Alex Tuck looks to find this on the forecheck, and it's a huge pummeling hit on Dustin Daru with Alex Tuck. Unbelievable hit, and a nice shot there by Steve Santini just goes wide. Eagles really generating some offense here. Teddy Doherty playing up a bit, putting some pressure in the corner. And that puck will go back onto the BC bench. It's like a magnet over there.
Miles Wood jumping up to protect Coach York there. Love that out of the freshman.
So we talked about BC getting more shots on net. Step one is complete. They're getting more shots. Step two, better angles on those shots. A lot of these are coming from sharp angles along the goal line. Get the puck into the center of the ice. We saw Santini take a few shots in the last few minutes, which is fine, except he's one of the, you know, lesser offensive defensemen for BC. McCaution is the guy you really want as a defenseman taking shots, but he's looked, quite honestly, pretty lost for most of this game. He recently had another turnover about 30 seconds ago.
Sanford going head-to-head with Adam Gaudette. Huskies able to win this. Colton Sosserman fires it over to Dylan Secura. And the Huskies defenseman pushing this one up along the glass up to center ice. Gaudette over to Mike McMurtry, who backhands that one behind Demko. Gaudette all over the ice tonight. Sosserman finds that one, unable to keep that in the zone. Here's Adam Gilmore putting some pressure on. But Gaudette able to clear that one down. Savage has the puck. A little bit of pressure there from the Huskies. Sends it over to Miles Wood. But a nice block there by the Huskies. And that was Brendan Collier circling around the net. And Demko is way out of the net. Doesn't even have his stick. So the Huskies really looking to get here. And there's a delayed penalty. So the Huskies have the extra man advantage. Kevin Waugh at the top of the ice. Looking to find an open lane. Kevin Waugh with the puck. Sends it on net. And it's touched up by the Eagles. So the Eagles will go down a man with 3:05 to play, down one goal.
And that's going to be on Thatcher for throwing his stick out when he got drawn all the way to the red line there and behind the net. Just a poor decision by Thatcher. I mean, you know, he did what he had to do to make sure that he didn't allow a goal there, but so blatantly firing that stick at the feet of, I believe that was number 16. For 15, Kevin Waugh.
There was no way Demko was going to get away with that one, as you said, Quinn. And it comes at a very inopportune time for BC. Looks like Teddy Doherty is going to serve this penalty, which is also unfortunate, as he is the captain and a key defenseman for the Eagles. 3:05 to go, 2 minutes down a man are the Eagles.
Interesting they have Teddy serve that one, because he is one of your more forward-inclined defenders. Obviously, he spent so much time as a forward this year on the line with Tuck and Sanford, who you presume, as the game kind of gets towards its weaning moment, would be out there.
I believe the opposing team in that situation chooses the player to send to the penalty box, so it makes sense that they'll choose your captain this late.
Does the player who gets chosen have been on the ice, or can it be anyone who is on the bench or on the ice?
Well, that's perhaps what York is arguing with the referees right now.
Yeah, could they?
Are in break.
Right, they might have to bring out the rule book for this one.
I'm not entirely sure if Doherty was on the ice. I don't think he was. I'd have to go back and get a good replay.
Coach York livid. Unhappy with the referees, but looks like Doherty will continue to serve this, so Nolan Stevens looks to win a huge faceoff here for the Huskies up against Colin White. Colin White able to get a stick on that. Huskies able to keep it in the zone. Here's Casey Fitzgerald, pushes that up to neutral ice. Matt Benning regaining possession, slowing it down here for the Huskies offense. Just under 3 minutes to play here in regulation. Big pass up to Zach Aston-Reese. Unable to find it, so Matt Benning maintains possession, but a knock forward by Colin White. Colin White up along the left side. Colin White weaves around the defense, but unable to fire a shot off on Ruck. So a huge, speedy rush here coming up. Aston-Reese with the puck sends it over to John Stevens. John Stevens looks for a man. Aston-Reese not there. Here's Adam Gaudette. Gaudette fires a shot, but cannot even get it anywhere near Demko. So Fitzgerald sends this down the ice. We have just over a minute in the Husky power play. Just over 2 minutes to play here in regulation. Boston College down one goal, 5-4. Big rush here by Mike McMurtry. McMurtry fires it around the boards. Michael Kim picks this one up. Sends it up to Cangelosi at center ice. Cangelosi over to Wood. Miles Wood speedy towards the net. Circles around the net. And tries to fire that pass through, but can't find the man. So Kevin Waugh knocked by Michael Kim. Michael Kim making a big play to stop that rush. Picked up here by Mike McMurtry. Knocked wide there by Steve Santini. Eagles having trouble keeping this out of their zone. 30 seconds here in the Boston College penalty kill. 1.5 to play in the game. And that looks like it's going to be a penalty to Steve Santini for knocking over Mike McMurtry there at the blue line. What do you see in that one, guys?
You know, we're going to take a look at this replay here. At first glance, it looks like incidental contact to me, and as I see the replay, I continue to think it was.
Yeah.
It's a little dicey, pretty borderline, and considering Northeastern was already on the power play, and at this juncture of the game, you don't want to see the refs put Northeastern on a 5-on-3, but again, I don't want to totally criticize them. I think that call could have gone either way.
Yeah, just a tough call to make in that situation, like you said, where we are in the game. The magnitude of that call, that really makes it tough for the Eagles to walk away with a W in this one.
It ensures they're going to need a shorthanded goal as they'll be on the penalty kill for the remainder of this game unless Northeastern scores. Fitzgerald leads them with three. Stanford and White each have two.
Two-man advantage here for Northeastern. 15 seconds. Northeastern, Matt Benning up at the top of the point. Over to Saucerman. Back to Benning. Benning, a shot there by Aston Reese. Unable to get a hold of it. Benning over to Saucerman. Whiffs on the shot there. And it's picked up by John Stevens. Over to Saucerman. Saucerman. With a shot in the open lane, blocked by Demko. Now BC, back with Teddy Doherty. So Boston College just down one man here for the rest of regulation. Under 1 minute to play. John Stevens breaking this puck out up at center ice. Passes it off to brother Nolan on the left side. Nolan unable to find a player on his team. Aston Reese right in front of the net, and that's shot in by John Stevens, but Demko gets a piece of that with the leg. Nice save. 35 seconds to play. Big rush here on the right. Pulling the goalie is Demko. So the Eagles have a 5-on-5 to play for the rest of this game. Northeastern has the puck in the defensive zone. Fitzgerald gets a stick on this, but we'll have a whistle on the play.
Yeah, I'm not sure if someone reached up with a high stick or with a hand pass. Not clear as of yet. 20 seconds flat to go in regulation. As you said, Scott, empty net for the Eagles. So it's 5-on-5 as Santini remains in the box, still awaiting a call.
So Boston College really looking to use this lull time, and it looks like there will be a timeout here on the ice, so both teams really trying to strategize here in the waning seconds of this third period. You know, what do the Eagles have to do? You have to win the faceoff. That's key.
Absolutely.
You have to win the faceoff, and you have to get traffic in front of the net and just try to get a dirty goal in front of Ruck. You don't look for the pretty shot.
I think you have to get to the center of the ice. I think you're not going to have much of a chance if you're shooting all the way from the boards or, you know, a sharp angle from the goal line. Even if there's some traffic in front, if you're in the center of the ice, fire that puck on net, put a big man, a big forward like Wood, Gilmore, or Tuck, one of them in front of the net, and hope for the best, and try to clean up a rebound if there is one.
There's one advantage that BC has in the scenario, and it's that they have zero to lose. With 20 seconds left, you have effectively eliminated 99% of your chance to win this game. But you have the opportunity to just throw everything at the net, throw all bodies forward. No, don't play with any inhibitions. You can't be worried about playing defense. And you've got a chance to have something absolutely magical happen. All it takes is just pucks on the net, men towards the net, and one lucky bounce for the Eagles.
That's exactly what the Eagles are doing, sending out two of their big forwards in Miles Wood and Alex Tuck to really use the bodies and create a shooting lane and give some of that traffic out to look for your sharpshooter, Ryan Fitzgerald. So Fitzgerald will be taking this faceoff up against Nolan Stevens. 20 seconds to play. Fitzgerald wins the draw, but it's poked back into the neutral zone here. Picked up at center ice is Miles Wood. A big pass up to Colin White. Saucerman finds that puck behind his own net. And that puck will be cleared down the ice. 5 seconds to play. And it looks like Northeastern will be winning this and heading to the Hockey East Finals tomorrow night against UMass Lowell with a victory 5-4 over the Boston College Eagles.
And the Huskies absolutely mob Ryan Ruck as time runs out, as the Eagles slowly, slowly drift and gather in their end. A disappointing loss for BC, but not one that was totally unforeseen given how hot Northeastern was coming into tonight. Their season was on the line, whereas BC's is not. They will still be able to play in the NCAA tournament with an at-large bid. Northeastern gets their 12th win in a row. And they've got a great chance tomorrow night, in my opinion, against the UMass Lowell team that had to play almost six full periods of hockey earlier today against Providence. Northeastern's going to be fired up for that one, fighting for their lives, as I mentioned.
I'll tell you what, certainly Northeastern had everything to play for, whereas the Eagles were only playing for the pride of winning the championship, but they are not doing themselves any favor in terms of momentum going into the NCAA tournament. Going 2-2 in the hockey playoffs is just not the way you want to head in, and especially in this fashion where, really, if you look at the natural goals scored, you have two goals, one that came with 0.9 seconds in a period, and another that was literally handed to Lincoln Griffin on the doorstep by Colin White. Two that you could easily say should not have happened under any circumstance, and the Eagles have got to be sick heading back into the locker room knowing that they really gave that game away.
Right. Northeastern really capitalizing on the turnovers, and that is what Boston College has struggled with all season long, just sloppy plays behind their own net, sloppy passes, and when you have the hottest team in the nation going up against you, you cannot play like that. You have to play simple hockey. Pass the puck to the open man and prevent any turnovers like that. And Northeastern continues to roll along, 19-1-2 in their past 22 games. Just unbelievable. After the start that they had this season, just really going to the bottom of the division right away and really turning things around, it speaks a lot to Coach Jim Madigan.
It certainly does. It's his fifth season at the helm. This is now the farthest they've advanced in this tournament, and you've got to be happy for them. This is a program that is in a tough spot, I think, every year because they're going up against BU and BC. They're kind of the third little brother in this city, but they don't play like it. They usually have a strong team, at least under Madigan. You know, they're criticized in this city for not winning a Beanpot since 1988, but tomorrow they can do something that they'll consider even more important, winning Hockey East despite being a number six seed and continuing their season.
Absolutely. I mean, you can't say enough about how well they have pieced together a run here since January, since the calendar year. Like you said, losing one game over the span. On the other side, this Eagles team came in the heavy favorite to win the tournament. They took an extra game against Vermont because they couldn't get it done. They came out and played sloppy today. It's an unfortunate showing yet again for the Eagles, who have really struggled in the Hockey East tournament in the past couple of years.
Now, looking forward, Boston College luckily has that guaranteed spot in the NCAA tournament due to the hard work that they put in this season. Going forward, they really have to watch the film on this game and break down what they did wrong and learn from their mistakes. I truly believe that a loss is not always a bad thing. You can really learn a lot from